bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Live from St. Thomas Sports Park, your exclusive chance to talk Titans football with the head coach.
This is Titans Radio's Mike Mularkey Show.
Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Glad to have you with us on Titans Radio for the Mike Mularkey Show. You have a chance to call in and speak with the head coach of the Tennessee Titans at 877-848-2671. Toll free wherever you're listening to the program tonight, 877-848-2671. Or if you would prefer to tweet us a question, you certainly have the ability to do that. Tweet us that question at Titans Radio, at Titans Radio. We will try to get to as many calls and as many questions as we can for the head coach tonight. Later in the program, final segment, Jim White, TitansOnline.com, with some of his thoughts about Thursday night football in Jacksonville. And if he had missed it, the Titans travel to Everbank Field Thursday night football. Kickoff set for 7:25 Central Time. Titans radio coverage begins with Titans Countdown and Rhett Bryan at 6:30. So 6:30 Central, we're on the air. Kickoff is set for 7:25 Central Time. The Titans in Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Otherwise, this weekend, as the Titans and Jags will kick it off on Thursday, the Sunday slate reads like this. Indianapolis is at Atlanta. The Jets travel to Houston. Tampa Bay at Philadelphia. Oakland at Detroit. Denver at Chicago. St. Louis at Baltimore. Miami entertains Dallas. Washington is at Carolina. Those are all the early games on Sunday. In the 3 o'clock window, it's Kansas City at San Diego. San Francisco at Seattle. And Green Bay at Minnesota in a battle for first place in the NFC North. Sunday night football, Cincinnati is at Arizona. So Carson Palmer will go up against his former team, the Bengals, for the second time in his career. Then Monday night football, it's Buffalo at New England. The Bills taking on the Patriots, 7:30 Central Time. That's Monday night. Joined now by the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Mularkey. And again, your calls at 877-848-2671. Tweet us a question at Titans Radio. Mike, you make some roster news today. You add two players to the active roster, wide receiver Trey McBride from the practice squad and wide receiver Andrew Terzilli from the San Francisco practice squad. The Titans place cornerback Jason McCourty and wide receiver Justin Hunter on the injured reserve. So you lose a corner and lose a wideout and replace those two players with two wide receivers. Why did you go in that direction? And take us through a bit of a thumbnail on McBride and Terzilli, if you would.
Okay. Well, you know, that sounded like a lot, and it was for a short week. A lot of transactions. You really don't want to do that any week, but on a Thursday night game, we had to make some decisions with Justin Hunter going on IR, you know, with an unfortunate injury that he had. And Kendall Wright, we're still making a game time decision. So we have really two wide receivers that are in that, you know, one out and one possibly another one out. So we had to bring in a couple guys in a short time. We brought in Andrew Terzilli, who was on the practice squad for San Francisco, but he was here for the good portion of the offseason and training camp and did not make the team. But he's familiar with our roster, big body, wide receiver. And then we've had Trey McBride, who obviously we drafted, and he's been on the practice squad the whole time. We gave him a chance to come up, and not sure who's going to be playing. Again, a lot of it's based on Kendall and his status when this game starts. So we'll see. It's a crash course to learn. Trezilli just got here playing Thursday night, and he literally got here about 11 o'clock this morning. So he's I'm sure, studying right now.
Trey McBride is a guy on the practice field in the last 3 to 4 weeks has made himself very apparent. He's made a lot of plays. It seems as if he's made a lot of improvement.
He has definitely done that. And I think any of the coaches would tell you that. He's really, he works hard. He kind of quietly does his job. You know, I think he recognized that, you know, at some point, he's not very far away from playing. And, you know, obviously it could be this weekend, it could be on, or this week, it could be on Thursday night football. And, he just prepares every week. You know, I think we mentioned last week, I had all the practice squad guys turning their notes to me to see how well prepared they were for the game. And his were about as detailed as anybody. So that was a good sign.
The Titans are now William and Mary's favorite professional team because you have Trey McBride and B.W. Webb on the roster. So the tribe well represented.
Absolutely. And they're in, you know, B.W. has really stood out for us for the last couple of weeks. He's had a challenge of, you know, being called up from the practice squad and being thrown right into the fire and responded very well and did the same thing again this last week when Cam Newton was on fire. We kind of added more pressure, and B.W. held up on his own.
We watched practice today, and it seemed like, and Parrish Cox saying afterwards, he wants to play Thursday night. Are you optimistic about that at the corner spot?
No, I think he's going to be ready to play. We had a talk yesterday. I think the week, you know, taking that last game and giving him some rest, I think he's feeling very confident about himself. So that's a good thing for us. Bleedy, again, these guys are kind of going back and forth week by week with, you know, it's the injury that's just not right. But I think for the first time, Parrish feels good.
And if you can get through this, you got 10 days before Oakland, which would be a huge help.
Right. Having a bye week when we did after the third game has, you know, that's hard on any team. It's good at that point because you've gone through training camp and you're basically gone through 7 or 8 games with the preseason. But you could use another break. The guys will have Saturday and Sunday off to get their mind right and their physically back. So it'll be good for really not just the players but the coaches to attack this last part of the season strong.
You don't normally have a Tuesday practice, but in this short week you do. What did you try to get done in today's practice?
Well, today was Wednesday and Thursday. And I know that's hard to explain, and really the players have Tuesdays normally off. The coaches are game planning, and we don't see them till tomorrow morning. But because of the game Thursday night, you have to speed up everything. The process is really sped up beyond most people's understandings. And so we had meetings. I let them sleep in a little longer this morning, again, for rest. We had a walkthrough, a really good walkthrough under the lights last night about the same time the game's going to be played Thursday night. I've always thought that was a good way to get ready for a night game is to, and you know, for a short week, we just walk through plays. So we stole about 40 minutes of plays and walkthrough time last night, and then a little bit later morning, and then we had a full day. We really had a full day, and we had a full practice. These guys responded really well. We were smart with them. I think they're going to be ready to go when we step on that field Thursday.
What is tomorrow like in terms of preparation?
Tomorrow is Friday and Saturday. So as far as what we install typically for a Friday and then really a cleanup and a final run through on Saturday, that's what's going to take place tomorrow. Short yardage, goal line, another period of red zone. And anything we want to touch base one more time that we didn't these first 2 days will be hit upon tomorrow.
Is a Thursday night game extra hard when you have a rookie quarterback because of the lack of preparation?
I think it could be. It depends on that rookie quarterback. I don't think it's going to be for this one. He's always well prepared. He's very intelligent. I'll let you know when I see something phase him. And that's in any regard. He takes it all in. Players watch him. It's really amazing how well he's done. And he's seen a lot in these last few weeks. A head coaching change. You know, one of his mentors, Charlie Whitehurst, being released that he's trusted upon. A Thursday night game. He's handled it extremely well, and the team has noticed that and have really responded around him.
Quite a battle Thursday night between last year's number 3 overall pick, Blake Bortles, and this year's number 2 overall pick, Marcus Mariota. Bortles has been very impressive in his own right.
He has. He's another guy that has just really improved since his rookie year, since last year. He's gained a lot of confidence. He's got some weapons now. He's got 2 wide receivers that are right now, you know, they've got a record of touchdowns and yards per receiver compared to any team in the National Football League. And a lot of that, too, is in due because of Blake, because his ability to make plays outside the pocket. He's a big, strong quarterback, a lot like Cam Newton, maybe not the runner that Cam is, but a very accurate passer on the run. And they've made a lot of plays. They've won games because of his feet and getting out of the pocket. So it'll be a good challenge.
Do you like the do you think the comparison to Roethlisberger's style is fair when discussing Bortles?
I still think it's too early for that. You can, if you want to discuss stature and size and ability, but I've seen Ben do a lot of unbelievable things and comeback wins and it's too early to tell that. But this guy, if he keeps improving like he has in the year and a half that he's had, I could see good things for him.
You've got the Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio, 877-848-2671. We'll begin taking your calls momentarily at 877-848-2671. And you can tweet us a question at Titans Radio.
Nissan's offices are right here in Nashville, a city known for its music, good food, and the Tennessee Titans. Yep, it's a pretty diverse place. And here at Nissan, we take diversity seriously. We believe our differences make us stronger. No matter where you come from, we offer equal employment opportunities. Now, if you come in wearing an Indianapolis jersey, well, that's a whole different story. Nissan, official auto partner of the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Proud. See you at the game.
Sports fans, looking for the ultimate game day experience? Let PrimeSport.com handle all your game day needs. PrimeSport.com is your source for tickets, airfare, hotel accommodations, VIP hospitality, and so much more. With over 100-plus professional and collegiate events, you will never miss your team in action this season. Nothing beats being there live. Book your official travel package to cheer on your favorite team at PrimeSport.com today.
Each year, 80 to 100 structures in Tennessee are destroyed by wildfire. The Tennessee Division of Forestry reminds you that removing flammable vegetation around your home can help protect it from wildfire. Visit burnsafetn.org for more tips on making your home and community fire wise. Volunteer to prevent wildfires.
It's go time, football fan. Time to go big. Go with your crew who love the game as much as you do. Go because staying home for home games is not an option this or any season. You go because you know packing the stands for the home field advantage could make all the difference. When getting in is everything, go with NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. 100% verified, 200% good to go. Now, go show the world what pride looks like with hashtag GoFace. Then, it's game on.
Titans Radio's Mike Mularkey Show. Get online for the coach. 877-TITANS-1. This is Titans Radio.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, in math, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. Trash. And in gym, in biology, I learned that I'm pathetic. In a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
It's why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Jason in Murfreesboro, you're going to be our leadoff caller tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show at 877-848-2671. Go right ahead for the coach.
Hey, coach. I had a question about the kick return game. I'm
Let's hope we can maybe get someone on the hip returns that can make a little bit better decisions than we've had lately. I wondered if, you know, since Trey McBride had been called up, if he might get a shot at it. And also, Parrish Cox, coming out of college, he was an awesome kip returner. I wonder if he might get a shot at it, too. I know he's been hurt, but wonder what you thought about that.
Yeah, hey, Jason, that's all been discussed. We are still in the process. We got some decisions to make in the next, really, day and a half about who's going to be up, who's going to... And a lot of that has to do with health, but Parrish has been held out of that because of, you know, the hamstring, and you just got to be careful with him there. And, you know, Trey may get his shot this weekend. We just have to make a decision at the receiver position based on Kendall. But I think you're right. We do have to make better decisions, and it's been frustrating, and it's been addressed about, you know, obviously some of the fumbles and the bobbles and taking it out. Those are not things you do and win games. And, you know, I just told Mike earlier that I was probably more disappointed in that unit this past week about the execution, that we had, that, it can't be like that. We're not going to put that on tape, and hopefully our guys are going to respond, which I think they will. Like, I know them, they will respond, but that the way we played last week against Carolina, was disappointing in that phase, the kickoff return phase.
There's always one guy on the team who lobbies to be the return man. Everywhere you go, he said, you know, coach, I can do this. Coach, I got this. If you give me a chance, I'll show you. Do you have a guy like that? Is there one guy who just badgers you all the time wanting to be the kick returner?
No. Dexter, I think, if there is anybody, it's Dexter.
well, he actually is the kicker.
I know, but
normally it's somebody who
He knows there's a line of guys behind him, and right. He doesn't want to lose that. You know, That's a pretty bold position to be standing back there as you got 11 maniacs coming down to try to knock you out. I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunately, was one of the wedge guys for 6 years playing in the league and took some hits, pretty hard hits. So I understand that phase of the game pretty well. But, you know, we've been pretty good, really, up until last week, and it was disappointing. I think we'll fix it this week.
You were part of the wedge, or you were a wedge buster?
I was part of the wedge. I was the middle of three. I would set the wedge on the returner. And back in the day now, you could have players. Now you can't have somebody blow up the wedge as far as.
Did you lock arms and stuff like they did back in the.
You basically set the wedge 10 yards in front of the returner, and you turn around and shoulder to shoulder, and you ran as fast as you could forward. And you have to realize now they've been running about 50 yards, and you get about 10. So just picture a car going 50 and a car going 10. It's really not pretty. And there's been many a times, you know, I was down. There's actually a picture in Sports Illustrated where the guy ran me over, killed our returner, fumbles, and the ball is leaning on my helmet, and I am so out cold that I can't even respond to the fumble. And all I remember is guys are telling me, get up, they're going to think you're hurt. And I was like, I am hurt. I am. I just got run over by, you know, so.
Do you remember who it was?
Absolutely not. I didn't remember the next. No, usually it's a big defensive lineman running down that there's really nothing you can do about it. But
so you're glad they did away with the wedge?
I still don't understand it. You can still split two guys, but you're not allowed to hit three. And, you know, if you're going to hit three, the middle guy's going to get it every single time. So 6 years, yeah, I did that.
Oh, gosh.
Made a living doing that.
Let's go to Ronnie in Nashville. He's our next caller at 877-848-2671. Ronnie, welcome to Titans Radio.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, I think you're doing a great job. I got one question about our timeouts.
Okay.
Out of the New Orleans game, we probably should have called timeout. We're on, the, I don't know, the 18 or so. And we had plenty of timeouts, and we fumbled the ball that time. And the other night, yesterday, you stopped the Panthers, but then you don't call a timeout. We lose out 30 or 40 seconds right there. We could have called a timeout, and we would have had like 30 seconds or more after the
ball. After the first down.
Why we're not using it. And you got some bad information on the one on the challenge. I don't know what that was all about.
Well, I'll start with the challenge. The challenge was, you know, did they actually complete the catch was one of the questions that came from upstairs. And then the other was it a fumble? So two of the three things that were a possibility on the play were in our favor. And I thought at the time where they were was it was a good challenge. And obviously when you don't win, it's not a good one. And I realize that, but I just felt like it was worth the risk based on where the ball was and where it could have been put back to and or maybe in our possession. And the timeouts, those are discussed about when and where we should. There's a lot of things that go on with the clock management, and it is discussed myself and a number of coaches on the staff, and probably could have done that earlier. Again, looking after the fact, we discuss every situation. After every game, we go through clock management. And you're right, there probably could have been a time we used it earlier. But for the most part, I think we've done well with our timeouts and our clock management.
Did you take the timeout after second down, or did they take the timeout after second down?
It was
announced that they did, and that didn't...
No, they had an injury.
Okay.
We got our timeout back because they had an injury on the play.
Okay, well, now that makes sense.
They were charged the timeout.
Okay, that makes total sense because it was hard to figure out.
It saved us a timeout.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, let me ask about that whole segment. So you get off the field there, and they punt it back to you, and you're going to have 4 seconds. Was there a thought in your mind to possibly try to use the fair catch free kick right there?
Yes, if you saw Dexter, he was going to fair catch it. So that was the whole plan. Hopefully he shanked a punt. We had a chance for a free kick. And then obviously he kicked the ball out of bounds. We didn't have that chance. And then we were going to just take a shot, literally just take a shot to see if we get an pass interference call and possibly get obviously a field goal before the half. So that's kind of was the sequence. But we were going to free kick it if we had the chance.
Even though he signals because the ball goes out of bounds and he does not complete the
catch. You still can free kick it, but obviously.
You could have.
Yeah, we could have. But where it was it would not have been feasible.
No, it would have been.
But that was, yes, that was our plan, was to free kick it.
Wow. We saw that in 2005.
Yeah, you don't see that very often, but, it was the plan if we had a chance to do it.
And that is, they can't rush the kicker, and he can basically run at it like a kickoff.
Yes,
right?
Yes. It's exactly what, it's been years since you've seen it, but that was feasible at that time.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Because you don't see that very much. Let's get a Twitter question here, if you don't mind. Oh, let's see. How do you like, this is for Benjamin. Benjamin wants to know, how do you like the new Color Rush uniforms, Coach?
Well, I'm anxious to see what it looks like on our whole team. I think, it's a unique idea that the league is going to promote on Thursday nights. And we'll see. I know they're pretty adamant about wearing exactly what they're requiring, the blue, no navy at all. And I've already told the team, I've had a couple letters from the NFL to make sure you guys, whatever is issued, you wear that, nothing else. I mean, it's not worth the fine, and we want to do things the right way here.
And the shoes are light blue.
Everything's light blue. The gloves are light blue. The shoes are light blue. The socks are light. Everything. Everything is. Everything is supposed to be.
Right. And the coaching staff.
We will, again, down there, they're recognizing the military as we've had for the last 2 weeks. We are going to wear, in honor of the military, we're going to wear our camo on the sideline.
That has been some of the coolest stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing that the NFL does. And in Jacksonville, you got Mayport, big naval base there. That's a huge military town, and we are going to honor that request.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's good stuff. Well, couple of the players in talking, Taylor Lewan doing his show last Thursday night, he loves it. Andy Gallick was his guest. Andy's not as excited. He's afraid he is not going to look as good in the all light blue head to toe.
Well, there's two different body types. it'll be interesting to see how some guys look. I'm curious.
Now, I think about this, though. Breaking in your shoes. You want to have your shoes so you don't blister up and your shoes are comfortable. And so they're wearing these shoes just one time. So they haven't had a lot of chance to do that in practice. When you were a player, would that have driven you crazy?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we've addressed it. I mean, I've told them that was the first thing we talked about on Monday. Make sure the shoes that you have to wear at some point, they're broken in before we go down there. Don't. I mean, it's obvious that's an issue. But, yeah, it would drive me crazy that I have to do that quickly in a short week.
Yeah, but like the pink shoes and all of those sorts of things. And I read some guys, they change out every week. I couldn't imagine doing that.
Well, when I was playing, that wasn't even, I mean, there weren't sponsorship, or at least not for me. So, I mean, I was happy.
You had one pair of shoes.
I was happy I had a pair of shoes. So, yeah, it's a little different now.
Another Twitter question. This is from John. He says, on the first Panther drive on 3rd and 2, they were penalized for an illegal shift, but there was a late second flag that was thrown in the middle of the field. Why wasn't it assessed? There was a flag down.
That's a really good that they saw that. That it was for the same penalty.
Okay.
It was an illegal formation. You know, they did not cover up the tackle to our sideline. And, you know, I asked them. It was literally for the same. They had to discuss it, but it was for the same penalty.
Interesting.
Same foul, I should say. Yes.
877-848-2671. We're covering all sorts of things tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. 877-848-2671. Film review. Avery Williamson, 16 tackles in the ball game. For all the talk about Luke Kuechly, and rightfully so, he is fantastic. That guy's worth the price of admission. Your number 54 was awfully good on Sunday as well.
Extremely good against a very tough offense. I mean, they're built on misdirection and deception, where you're really trying to figure out where the ball is going to be. And Avery played his rules, his techniques, and was around the ball a bunch. And a lot of those tackles, they got big backs, obviously a big quarterback. They're hard to bring down. You got to wrap up, and Avery did a great job with his arms wrapping up, and he was where he was supposed to be and paid off for him.
And he was not happy with Cam Newton late in the ball game.
No, I love that. I love the motion our guys showed. Again, this team is so passionate. They want to win so bad, and then when something's rubbed in your face, as it was what Cam did, which was I'm not real fired up about it either. I don't think a lot of fans were, but I just like the way our guys responded.
877-848-2671. More calls for the coach coming up. And remember, you can send a Twitter question at Titans Radio.
It's go time, football fan. Time to go big. Go with your crew who love the game as much as you do. Go because staying home for home games is not an option this or any season. You go because you gotta be there when grit meets gridiron. And packing the stands for the home field advantage could make all the difference. When getting in is everything, go with NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. 100% verified, 200% good to go. Now, go show them what pride looks like.
On Thursday nights from 6 to 7 Central, you won't want to miss Titans Tonight. It's Titans Tonight, live at Logan's Roadhouse in Cool Springs, with the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan. Your Thursday nights may never be the same. Who knows what tackle Taylor Lewan will say next? You'll have to find out by listening to Titans Tonight. It's Titans Tonight, live from Logan's Roadhouse. Thursdays at 6 Central on Titans Radio.
Attention men, have you ever had that feeling that you're not lasting long enough in the bedroom? Sometimes it feels like it's in your head, and sometimes it feels like your body won't cooperate. But the Tennessee Men's Clinic is now offering a new treatment for men to help you enjoy intimacy longer and to stop the disappointment that 30% of all men experience. Call 615-200-9160 to try the new pill that urologist John Caulfield calls a game changer. 615-200-9160. Online at TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
Hey, Lady Titans fan, have you heard about Titan True, the official women's fan club of your Tennessee Titans? Join Titan True, presented by Bridgestone, and you receive exclusive access to special events, a Titans game ticket, a gift pack of ladies' merchandise, and other VIP benefits all year round. Sign up today at TitanTrue.com. That's TitanTrue.com. Titan True, presented by Bridgestone, the official women's fan club of your Tennessee Titans.
Titans Radio's Mike Mularkey Show.
Complete coverage of your Titans from the NFL's best. This is Titans Radio.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
Loser.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message. Or walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Noted non-recycler Tommy Crenshaw talks about the future.
Oh, I can totally see finding another planet that can support life when ours fills up with trash.
As an alternative to recycling?
Yeah, an alternative. So we, like, don't have to do it. Recycling. There are lots of planets. Finding one is just a matter of time.
Many people say that recycling is pretty simple and convenient. A matter of keeping select items out of the trash. A lot simpler than finding a new planet, Tommy.
Come on, there's a bunch of planets out there.
Would you recycle on this new planet, Tommy? Or just use it up and throw it away, too?
I really don't have a clue.
Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle. Unless you're into lame excuses like Tommy's.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing.
The Mike Malarkey Show continues on Titans Radio with your calls at 877-848-2671. Let's go to Bristol, Tennessee. Or is it Bristol, Virginia? Kenneth, which is it?
It's Tennessee. Bristol,
all right.
Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to find out. I chat with some Panther fans on Twitter after the game, and they tried to tell me that Cam made that dance in response to when he got sacked earlier in the game and the defensive end made the little dance. I don't remember who sacked him, but I would like to think that's just a cop-out. But what do you think?
I don't remember any dance after the sacks. Maybe it happened, but I did not see it. I didn't even see it on tape. So it may be a cop-out. That's probably a good response to it, but I did not see any of our guys do that. Our guys are typically celebrating with their teammates.
Arakpo kind of got up and was excited. I didn't see any dance, though.
No. I'm not sure if he can dance, but I know he can play football.
Now, there's tape from today's practice of Byron Bell.
Oh, they got that on tape?
Dancing, yes. Apparently, it's run or is running on the news. It was during the open portion of practice, and Byron Bell... A lot of moves. How would you grade him on dancing with the offensive linemen?
Well, it was pretty impressive. I did not know he could move like that. I thought he was going to have oxygen when the dance was over with. But you know, we've changed some things around mid-season and allowed music during stretch. And again, it's a wide variety of music. But some of the songs have been pretty good. Where the whole guys have hold. Old team's singing, and it's really been good. It kind of eases the tension of that starts practice. But Byron, he was really impressive.
Who picks the playlist?
I think that's Anthony or video.
Anthony Pastrana.
Yeah, I think Anthony does it.
Do you approve the playlist, or do you?
There's a lot I've never heard, but the players seem to like it. And that's all that matters to me.
There you go. All right, let's go to Columbia, I think, is where we're headed next. And Kevin, welcome to Titans Radio. I'm sorry, I went blank for just one second. We're glad to have you with us on the Mike Malarkey Show.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Hey, Coach, I've written for you. I wish you all the luck in the world. You look at this division, and you look at the records in this division, I mean, you got to think there's still a chance, and I'm just wondering, do you address that with your team, or do you kind of just, you know, take one game at a time? But you know, I think we a lot of games to go. So, what do you think? I appreciate.
No,
that.
We do address it. Yeah. Thanks for the question, Kevin. I address it with the team where we are in our division, and again, I really stress to them there's really nothing we can do with how other teams. How they perform or how they, like last night, you know, Houston beaten Cincinnati. You know, you would just think that would be one we'd have a chance to gain some ground. But the one thing you said is you've got to worry about what we do. And all we can do is just focus on winning this next one and let things fall as they may elsewhere. But it's irrelevant if we don't win this one first.
The history of this one, Tennessee-Jacksonville, goes back to the first year of the Jags, 1995. I think their first game ever was against the Oilers, and their first win ever was the Oilers. And, of course, there was an AFC championship game between the two. And the last 12 games, six for one side, six for the other. It's been quite a rivalry, and it's always had a little extra to it, has a little bit of a college feel, which kind of makes it extra exciting.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a rivalry, which you don't get too many in the NFL, and not just the record of 6-6. That a lot of these have been very close games. You know, if you remember, they actually missed a field goal to beat us last year, and we beat them in a close one. And it's pretty well it's a pretty good matchup between the two teams. So I'm hoping our guys are ready to go, and they should be.
That helps you for Thursday night, doesn't it? Add a little extra to it. So if you're a little tired or a little bruised or a little beat up, you've got that motivation?
Oh, yeah, and especially with that, there's a race in this division. So there's a lot of motivation this Thursday night, and our guys understand that. But I think they're ready. I really do. And it's the good thing is this is a common opponent that we're typically used to playing. So we have film on them. We've played them obviously twice last year. This is a good game to have on a Thursday night, a division game.
All right, let's talk about where they're improved. They're 3-6. Last year they were 3-13. Looks like in year three, Gus Bradley is starting to get his pieces in place. As you watch him on tape, Mike, where do you see the most improvement from the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think they really have improved in all three phases. Offense, they have obviously, if you look at their stats where they were last year in regards to rankings, they're way up there. Greg Olsen was hired as the offense coordinator there, and he's really done a good job of playing to the talents of Bortles and the receivers. And they have big-time wide receiver who hadn't caught a lot of passes, but he's still a threat, and he's taking coverage away from the guys that are making plays outside. But I think offensively, they're gaining some confidence on how they're winning some of these games, and they're winning some of these games late, as you saw last Sunday they did.
Greg Olsen has been around the league for a long time. What are his tendencies? What does he like to do?
Well, he's not going to make it real. It's not a complicated offense. Greg worked for me when I was down in Jacksonville. He was my quarterback coach. He's going to put guys where it's not – it's pretty plain and simple. And sometimes, again, like I've said that before, defenses that – you know, don't have a lot of different alignments and they're not complicated. They make me nervous because they actually know what they're doing and they're confident in what they're doing. That's a lot of what this offense is. There's not a lot of personnel groupings and shifts and motions and they run the same things week in and week out. So it's just a matter of we're going to have a good idea where they're going to try to attack us and it's just stopping it.
That's what you said last week leading into the game with Carolina. You really, on tape coming into the game, admired Carolina, the fact that they do the same things, they do them well, and because of that, they limit mistakes. They don't lose games. You have to beat them.
Yes, and for the most part, in three quarters, we were playing a very similar game. That's why it was a 14-10 game, and one of the reasons they're undefeated is they continued through the fourth quarter. We did not. We started to self-inflict wounds with the drop pass, a drop snap, an interception, not finishing a route. A lot of things that will be tough to beat anybody in the NFL, but really tough to beat good teams, efficient teams.
It was talked about the Green Beckham play where you said that he didn't finish the route. He clearly in the post-game interview didn't sort of share the same opinion, but when you had a chance to discuss it with him, you got your point across. What was the main emphasis of that to DGB?
Well, our quarterback is going to throw it to a spot, which I've seen him do numerous times and complete them. And that's the one thing that's difficult to defend Marcus Mariota is he's going to anticipate many of these throws before guys are going to come out of a break. So you've got to find the ball in route, already left his hand, and that was one of them. And if he comes out quicker, I think it's going to fall right in his lap. And I've seen that throw to Delanie Walker to our sideline earlier in the year. I've seen that throw even with Matt Ryan. That's a timed route. If he gets it out of his hands when he's supposed to and the receiver's at the right depth, that should drop right to where he is. But I just felt like he gave up on the route at the top of the route, and the DB did not, and that was a difference in the play.
He's having to develop more suddenness.
Yes, he is. And you know what? That's a tough lesson for all of us, really a tough lesson for him. But, again, it reemphasizes it's not just that route. It's all the routes. You got to get your head around, and that ball will be in it's going to be where it's supposed to be. And typically it has been with Marcus. He's so accurate and efficient with his trusting the receivers to be where they're supposed to be.
You need to get some rest.
Can you tell I'm a little tired?
No, I just think you guys have been going hard since Sunday and getting ready for this one. I know you're excited about Thursday night and a chance for the primetime audience to see your quarterback and to see this team in action as you try to continue to build.
Yeah, we've shown, again, throughout the year, not just since I've been here, we've shown that we have the ability to do a lot of good things in all three phases. We just haven't done it consistently. And that's what Carolina has done. It's week in and week out. They just do not make a lot of mistakes. And we're trying to do that. And our guys are seeing it. They don't need me to remind them of what's going to get us beat. It's really typically ourselves. And so we'd like to put a complete game together, get all three units to play efficiently and play as one, and see what the outcome is if we do that. So that's the plan.
Mike, thank you so much for the time tonight. Get some rest.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah,
right.
I will.
The Mike Mularkey Show continues on Titans Radio.
Nissan's proud to call Nashville home, and we appreciate the love Nashville gives us back. Now, it seems the whole town's excited about the new Nissan Titan pickup truck we're set to roll out later this year. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing signs saying, "Tighten up," shirts saying, "Tighten up," tattoos saying, "Tighten up." Wow, you sure know how to make a company feel at home. Nissan, official auto partner of the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Proud. See you at the game.
On Thursday nights from 6 to 7 Central, you won't want to miss Titans Tonight. It's Titans Tonight, live at Logan's Roadhouse in Cool Springs, with the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan. Your Thursday nights may never be the same. Who knows what tackle Taylor Lewan will say next? You'll have to find out by listening to Titans Tonight. It's Titans Tonight, live from Logan's Roadhouse, Thursdays at 6 Central on Titans Radio.
Attention men. Board-certified urologist John Caulfield, medical advisor to the Tennessee Men's Clinic, is now offering a new treatment. Platelet-rich plasma is the same therapy used across the country to restore athletes from injury and is now available for ED issues. Hundreds of men across Middle Tennessee have already seen positive results. If you are a current patient or have never visited the Men's Clinic and have ED, now is the time to see for yourself. Call 615-200-9160 for a private consultation. Online at TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
Titan fans, you still have the chance to see the Titans at Nissan Stadium before the 2015 season ends. Fantastic seats are still available for the remaining games, meaning you have great options if you want to see the Titans take on the league's best. Get your Titans tickets by calling 615-565-4200 or visiting TitansOnline.com. Get your Titans tickets today and don't miss your chance to be at Nissan Stadium. Titan fans, remember, game day is yours.
Titans Radio's Mike Mularkey Show. Complete coverage of your Titans from the NFL's best. This is Titans Radio.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Do you enjoy wildlife and the outdoors? If you do, please join Pheasants Forever. We are making a difference for wildlife every day. Pheasants Forever is the only national conservation organization that leaves all fundraising dollars in the local communities where they are raised. That translates into wildlife habitat improvements and more wildlife in your own backyard. Join Pheasants Forever. Sign up online at pheasantsforever.org. Your membership includes 5 issues of Pheasants Forever's Journal of Upland Conservation for the year. Join at pheasantsforever.org today. Your membership will make a difference.
Mike Malarkey Show continues on Titans Radio. Mike Keith back with Jim White, senior writer, editor for TitansOnline.com, getting ready for a trip to Jacksonville and getting ready to see what's going to shake out in this AFC South. Lots has happened. We have seen Indianapolis pick up a couple of victories and lose their quarterback for a while. Houston has now won 2 in a row. They won last night in Cincinnati, a big victory, knocking off the previously unbeaten Bengals, so they're tied for first. And Jacksonville kicked a 54-yard field goal on the last play of the game to win at Baltimore. Whether that should have been or not, according to, you know, who you're listening to at this point. But the fact of the matter is the division's still up in the air.
Yeah, there's no question it is. And you look at the fortune of some of these teams, you know, not, you know, the Colts, obviously bad luck losing Andrew Luck, but they've had some good fortune in a couple of games that they won. Jacksonville wins a game at Baltimore that, you know, should have been an interception late in that game. It was not. And they get a face mask on a play that allows them to kick a last second field goal. That the league comes back and says it shouldn't have counted. Houston pulls out a wild win, a game that nobody thought they would win. Other teams are starting to chip away, starting to win some games. Titans have got to do that. I mean, the Titans in a stretch now. Jacksonville, Oakland, Jacksonville again. It's getting to be must-win time, even in a division where the leader's 4-5, and there'll be no place better place to start than on Thursday night in Jacksonville.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacksonville, we'll talk about them in a second. Oakland, the next home opponent on November the 29th. And the Raiders have kind of slowed down just a little bit, getting a lot of pub at 4-3 and people saying, well, here come the Raiders. Now they've dropped 2 in a row, and everybody kind of wondering where they are exactly.
Yeah, and I wonder myself, I was surprised that they lost this past weekend in the fashion that they did against Minnesota. It's a team certainly capable of picking up, you know, scoring some points, but it's a very winnable game, certainly, and them having to travel across the country to come to Nissan Stadium, certainly that's a game that the Titans, with some extra rest following a short week, should be in a good opportunity to seize an opportunity there.
That's 12 days away. Let's talk about the game 2 days away in Jacksonville. The Jaguars 3-6. And it really starts with the quarterback, Blake Bortles, second-year man out of the University of Central Florida, a guy that I like a lot for his Ben Roethlisberger-like athleticism.
Yeah, and it's crazy. You look at his numbers. They're 9 games in. He's thrown 19 touchdowns already, and he's got 2 receivers in Robinson and Hearns who are – on pace to shatter 1,000 yards. He's looked good. I will say that I thought he played his worst game probably against Baltimore this past week. And you look at some other things, he's also thrown 11 interceptions. His passer rating's only 81, which is is not great, to be honest. But he is dangerous if you let him sit back there and find receivers. And he's a guy the Titans gonna have to get some pressure on Thursday night.
Now, Julius Thomas is part of that offense now, and he missed the first 4 games of the year with a hand injury. They pick him up in free agency, big pickup in free agency from Denver. They pay him a lot of money. And so far, he's not done very much. You've got to think Julius Thomas is going to explode at some point, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And I think it benefits him to have a guy. I mentioned Robinson and Hurns. I mean, Robinson's at 758 and seven touchdowns. And Hurns is at 697 already. And you know, the more teams try to focus on those guys, the more it's going to open up for a guy like Thomas. Yeldon's caught some passes out of the backfield. He's got 24 catches already. They have some weapons. I mean, we've gone down there before and seen the Titans play the Jags where they really didn't scare you much offensively. This is a team that is capable of putting up some points and has some playmakers.
Waiting to see if T.J. Yeldon can play. He apparently turned an ankle in Baltimore on Sunday, has not done anything in practice this week, but T.J. Yeldon is really a good-looking back, and they took him right at the top of the second round. It seemed like a very good pick at the time, and for what he's done, it really feels like they did the right thing.
Yeah, he's averaging 4 yards a carry, and you know, listen to people down there. I talked to a buddy of mine that covers the Jaguars who, even though he was in a walking boot, I think early in the week, they expect him to kind of tough it out and play on Thursday night, and he is a good-looking back. I liked him coming out of college, and, you know, when you've got the receivers on the outside, the tight end, you know, Yeldon has a chance to do some special things there.
Has Jacksonville's offensive line improved?
I think so. I mean, he has been sacked Bortles 28 times. That's a big number. But they've given him enough time to sit back there and throw for 2,300 yards. And, I do think it's an opportunity because the Titans have gotten pressure on just about any quarterback they face this year. I do think it's an opportunity the Titans can get in his face a little bit, but I do think it's an improved line. And, you know, he's a guy that likes to stand back there, big target. Surprisingly, he'll take it off and run a little bit too.
Jim White from TitansOnline.com is our guest right now on the Mike Mularkey Show. Turning to the Jacksonville defense, the number that jumps out to me is 3.3. That's how many yards they're allowing per rushing attempt for the opposition. The Jacksonville defense making it hard to move the ball on the ground.
Yeah, that's an impressive number. I think I looked at them. I think overall they're ranked, maybe 5 or 6 in run defense, but then rushes average per rush number one in the league. That's a heck of a number. It's going to make it tough on the Titans. You know, will we see David Cobb compliment Antonio Andrews this week? I think that's the big question. I think, you know, Mike Mularkey said today that, there's a better chance of Cobb playing this week, compared to this past week against Carolina. But no matter who's back there, it has been tough to run the ball against the Jaguars.
They've got some versatility, particularly at linebacker. Paul Posluszny, ninth-year man out of Penn State, still a really good player. And Telvin Smith, they found him last year, had 15 tackles against the Titans in the game in December, and just keeps making things happen on the weak side.
Yeah, I mean, that's a steady, a steady defensive unit, I think. And, if they can score points like they've been able to in some games, that defense can keep you in. It's a scrappy defense, certainly a physical defense. Titans will have their hands full.
Titans looking for more from Marcus Mariota, maybe even more running the ball. We saw him carry 5 times for 24 yards this past Sunday. Do you get the impression that's going to be more of the routine rather than the exception for Tennessee?
I think so. I mean, I think he's a weapon, in many ways, especially throwing the football. But he is smart when he runs the football, and he seems to make good decisions. He knows when to slide. He's not going to put himself in harm's way. I do think that's something they can take advantage of. I think Marcus, lives for kind of moments like this. He's a prime time player, plays well in big games, has played especially well on the road this year. I mean, look at his road numbers, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 3 starts, which is and a couple of 4 touchdown games. So he's pumped up about this game. He talked about it today. Wearing a flashy uniform, something that he's used to doing from his days at Oregon. He's excited. I think all the players are excited about this game. But, you know that Marcus wants to put on a little bit of a show here like a lot of guys do when they play in these type of games.
Talk to us about the 2 wide receivers who became part of the active roster today. Talking about Trey McBride, who was called up from the Titans practice squad, and Andrew Terzilli, who was called back from the San Francisco practice squad.
Yeah, we're really familiar with McBride because he's been around here. He's been on the practice squad. I really like him. I think he's a good, hardworking kid. He was a little bit taken aback when he didn't make this roster out of camp. I think he thought he was going to make it, and then he didn't, and he's worked hard on the practice practice squad, and coaches have said it, and he's admitted it himself, that, you know, when he was in college at William & Mary, he had a little bit more flexibility where he could kind of do what he wanted to when he wanted to. He didn't have to, no one really got on him if he wasn't precise with his route running. Now he's got to be precise. He's got to know, the quarterback's got to know where he's supposed to be each play. And I think he realizes that now. And that's something he's going to have to prove he can do when the action, you know, picks up on Thursday night and then the Sundays moving forward. But he can run. And I think we'll see him help on special teams. Terzilli's a guy that I really like the looks of during the offseason. Big, tall, lanky kid, 6'4", can go up and get the ball. He scored a touchdown in Atlanta in the preseason that was called back because he got an offensive pass interference, which I thought was questionable at the time. But he's a good prospect. I think it's good that you get a guy that has been working, you know, with the 49ers on their practice squad as opposed to somebody who just kind of working out in an area gym. I mean, he's more up to speed with what's going on. Certainly a challenge on a short week. He took a red eye, you know, last night, traveled across country, got here at 8:30 this morning, was on the practice field a couple hours later. He's running on fumes at this point, but he, you know, moving forward, he's a guy that can help him bail him out of a tough spot with some receivers down.
Can he help on Thursday night?
He says he can. Yeah, whether or not coaches will have him in that group of four, it sounds like, that's going to be active remains to be seen. I think Kendall Wright, certainly a very big question mark, but you got Harry Douglas, Doyle Green Beckham, it's either, Terzilli, two out of the three of Terzilli, McBride, and Rico Richardson. And, I will say that Terzilli gives them a little bit something different because of his size and ability to go up and get the football.
Do you think McBride has a chance to run back kickoffs?
I think he does. And I think, I think it'd be good to see a change there because of his speed. A lot of the problems that they've had, the Titans have had returning kicks, it's kind of been decision making and when to bring it out, handling the football. I mean, so some of that stuff comes into play. McBride has been clean from what I've seen in practices. He definitely has the speed. He's a guy I think that could add a spark.
What are you writing about right now at TitansOnline.com?
Yeah, you're writing about Marcus Mariota today and him looking forward to going on the road playing in a primetime game. Wrote a little bit about Terzilli. Going to write about, David Cobb and his chances moving forward. Certainly on a short week, trying to cram in as much as you possibly can. Got a preview of the Jags. I talked to Ryan O'Hallen today from the Jacksonville Times Union, talking about, the feeling down there. They feel like this is a division that could be had, and they feel like they could win this thing.
Jim White, thanks so much for the time. Great offseason pickup for the Titans organization, getting Jim White for TitansOnline.com. If you haven't had a chance to read what he's writing, check it out, www.TitansOnline.com. Amy Wells also there. She teams with Jim for Titans in 2. Every day, keep up with the Titans in 2 minutes. By the way, injury report today. Kendall Wright did not practice. The knee still hampering him. Bleedy Ray Wilson, not a lot of work at the corner. But the good news is Parrish Cox, another corner, full participant in practice. And as Coach told us, he plans to play in the game on Thursday night. Chance Wormack was limited at right guard. That seems to be more of a, hey, let's give him enough rest to get him ready for Thursday night. Same with Derek Morgan in the shoulder. He was a limited participant. Sammy Hill, one to watch. He's still coming back from the knee problems. He was a limited participant, and he is even more important towards Thursday night's game because Al Woods is out with an ankle injury. Al Woods expected back, he says, for the Oakland game on November the 29th, but Al is going to miss this one. And Al Woods and Daquan Jones have both been playing outstanding football for the Tennessee Titans in the defensive line. Woods, the best season of his career easily. And for young Daquan Jones, just a second-year man out of Penn State, appears to be a guy who is on the verge of really, really breaking through as not only a solid starter, but a really good player on this defense, which seems to be growing all the time for the Tennessee Titans. That's going to do it for the Mike Mularkey Show tonight. Our coverage is produced by Alan Kirby, Titans radio producer Brad Willis, Titans radio executive producer Rhett Bryan, traffic director Kendra Holt, director of sales Hunter Rice, Titans radio's general manager is Allison Warren, and our operations manager is Charlie Cook. My name's Mike Keith, reminding you the Titans travel to Everbank Field for Thursday night football. Kickoff set for 7:25 Central Time. Titans Countdown with Rhett Bryan begins at 6:30 Central. That's 2 days from now. Thursday night football on Titans Radio.
The Mike Mularkey Show, an exclusive production of Titans Radio. Get more on this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.